Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and God bless you. Welcome to Morning Manna with your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle, greeting you with Jesus' joy on this Sunday morning, chilly Sunday morning, coming from Detroit, Michigan. Praying that you're well as we are celebrating the goodness of the Lord. Glory to God. Just once again, excited. We're glad that you're on with us this morning as we continue to process through those things that we are seeing and experiencing as we are walking along this path under the banner of a holy and righteous and majestic Father. Amen. And so we just rejoice in this morning. Glad to have you on board. Let us pray. Father, we bless and magnify you. We do give you praise this morning. We do thank you for all that you have done and are doing and will do. We worship, we adore you, and we just exalt your name on this morning. We thank you for yet another opportunity to go forward with thanksgiving and gratefulness to you for sending us, preparing us, and then sending us into that which will bring honor and glory to your name. So for that, we give you praise. I thank you for every listener, those online and those by phone. I thank you, Father God, for their faithfulness. I thank you for continuing to speak into their lives, pour into their lives, and bring them to even greater levels of revelation in this season. And for that, we give you praise. Pray healing and resources readily accessible in this moment. And for that, we are eternally grateful. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leading, guiding, direction, and teaching. And for that, we are honored. And so, Father, we once again thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy unto us. And we pray it all in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. Good to have you this morning. I had some struggle getting my internet going this morning. So, amen. I just slow down and regroup here. But I wanted to shift for just a minute. We're still in the line of the prophetic. We still have much to do with the prophets, but we also have much to do with our prayer and especially our intercession. So I want to kind of cut off to the side for a minute and deal with intercession because of the cry, for one, not only the cry that we have in our own hearts as we are interceding and in that place of being asked to intercede for others and interceding for ourselves, and also for that which we are seeing going around as we move. We see that need and that desire, that hunger for intercession at the level that's needed in this hour. What do I mean by the level that's needed in this hour? The spirit realm has changed, shall we say. There are some things going on in the realm of the spirit that are different. Amen. And I have been saying for years the day will come when the assault of the enemy will heighten like nothing it was at that time. I began to make those statements that it would heighten, and we would need to know in that hour how to meet the challenge through our level of prayer. And lo and behold, we are in those seasons right now. So we want to take a look at intercession for two reasons. For one, many are not equipped for intercession at the level that intercession is needed. And then two, we need to find out how to be equipped, amen, at that level. Now, let me clarify that by saying we are all called to intercede, and intercession is to stand between a need, stand between someone and their need, between them and the Father with the answer. And we pray into that situation, and we are almost like a conduit, or we are really, we release from the earth into heaven the need. Heaven releases from heaven into the earth to meet that need. And so we are in that place of intercession. But it's not also always as smooth as I just defined it, because there's often interference, if you would, in our intercession that would be predicated on the intercession that's being released. Amen. What am I saying? That the enemy does not necessarily care for intercession, and he does not care for intercession that's going to take territory away from him or create those issues that are going to give us victory. So there is a war that goes on in the midst of this, what we call intercession. And one thing is about it, if we don't know how to fight the war, then we are categorized as victims, amen, and victims eventually lose, amen. But God did not create our engagement with him to be something that's defeated. He created it that it would be a place of victory and that we would get everything we would need in order to function for his purpose. So we want to look at intercession at the level that is needful in this hour. And one of the first things we need to understand is that if we're going to move in that level of intercession, that we have to make sure that we don't get taken out by the enemy while we're in the process of getting that intercession through. Amen. So which means there's some requirements that we must meet in this hour, that we must be repentant and holy and clean and not in that place where the enemy can take advantage of us, because we've been walking outside of God's defined purpose and his divine description, if you would, as to how we are to be in preparation for those type of encounters. We're to walk in that level, that awareness all the time, of course. But I'm saying that when we are moving in a war theater, we have to be even more conscientious to the state of our spiritual being, that we are prepared to thwart the assault of the enemy, to deflect his fiery darts, if you would, to be able to master that level of assault as we move by the Spirit into the realm that we are being qualified to move in, called intercession, that it becomes a place where the enemy wastes time trying to take us out because he cannot find anything in us to cause it to be taken out. So it's a place of preparation. It's not a place you just jump into willy-nilly. And for one, if the prayer is not going to get through. And when I say that, we understand God is sovereign. He hears us, and he certainly can let whatever he wants through. I'm just saying that if we are in a compromised place, there is a possibility that we aren't going to get the prayer through. And that one possibility is because the enemy in his assault is going to weaken us in our stance. So we have to make sure that our hearts, our souls, our minds are prepared for that level of engagement. And when I say level of engagement, intercessory prayer, of course, has different levels. C. Peter Wagner years ago defined three levels of intercessory prayer: the ground level, the occult level, and the strategic level. The ground level was just that ground level, the healings, those things that would deal with at that time those demonic influences, if you would, that were not that serious. When I say not that serious, it didn't take that much effort to get them out of the way. And then, of course, the occult level dealt with the occult, with witchcraft, and all those things that come under that banner. And then the high level or the strategic level of intercession dealt with that level that you had encounters with, and I caution in using the words principalities and powers, but it's another level of warfare. It's a highest level of warfare. It's strategic. It's a warfare that you need to strategize in order to get through. You need to know the enemy and the territory. Amen. It's the type of intercession that you just don't jump into. Amen. You're prepared to step into it so that you can war. And even in the season that we're in, we're finding that the war strategies that we used 10 years ago isn't quite it's not beneficial in the season because the war has changed. Amen. The enemy is the same. We're warring against the same enemy, but the tactics and strategies of the enemy has changed. So if that has changed, then so does the so must the strategy in which we engage that enemy change. Once again, and I draw your attention always to the fact that at each transition, at each level, at each place where we are moving forward in God, there's some things that we have to add to our understanding. There's some things, if you would, that we have to pick up as our tools of the trade, if you would. We can't, as someone said, we can't fight this type of war with World War I artillery. We have to be able to function according to the design that's been presented to us. We have to be able to engage, empower, and overthrow. Glory to God. We've got to be able to engage, empower, and overthrow. Amen. So we have to know that the enemy, the strategy of the enemy, is the one that defines how we engage, how we overpower, and how we overthrow. Amen. So if we are being led by the activity of the enemy's camp, then certainly we can't go in the same way we went in. We become the victims, okay? We become the casualties of war. And that is not God's intention for us, that there are no casualties. We win this as we move into his purpose. I want to just share with you a slight introduction of a study that I'm doing, and it says there is a great war being waged in the world today. It is not a conflict between nations, tribes, or government leaders. It is not a rebellious or a coup. It is an important invisible battle taking place in the spirit world. The Bible states that God's people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And one of the main areas in which believers are being defeated due to lack of knowledge is in spiritual warfare. Amen. And with that, when he says that it is not a conflict between nations, tribes, or government leaders, yes, but it is an encounter between governments, the government of God and the government of the enemy. And so we're part of the government of God. Amen. The Father is our commander-in-chief, the eternal judge, the one in whom we submit to, the one who is the captain of that which we have been called to do. And he has the captain of the host and all those things that are in place that we operate. So it is a government in a way of thinking, in a reality, I should say, more than a way of thinking, in a reality. So we have to flow in that reality and understand that there is an understanding that we must come in when we go into a warfare or intercession at the level that transition demands in this hour. This hour of transition, as in any transition, demands another level of intercession to meet the challenges, the negative challenges that intercession brings. So we're certainly in that place. So what happens in the level that we're in right now, God is giving us indicators, if you would. He's given us revelations. He's given us instructions. He's showing us those things that we need to tighten up, those things we need to sharpen up, those things that need to be included into the level of intercession that we're operating in. And we have to have an ear to hear. We have to hear not only with our ear, but with our spirit. We have to be able to understand that God is adding some things to the pot, if you would, that are part of the artillery that's needed in order for us to do a victorious campaign, okay, if you would. And this goes back to something I've been saying over and over again, that we have to make space for the Holy Spirit to give us the new instructions or the new revelations or the new understanding of what's needed in this time of transition. We cannot hold on to the old pattern, because holding on to the old pattern is holding on to old wineskin. That's what it is. And old wineskin is new wineskin, and now it's become old. Amen. It was once new, but now it's old. So if it's old, it means there is a change. And if I don't know what the change is at that moment, I must know the change is coming. Because if I do not understand the change is coming, then that means I'm going to get locked in to old wineskin. And I'm going to try to fight or war in this new place with old artillery. We have to make room for the direction and directives to come through to us, so we can understand that there are some things that we even look different, we see them differently, because they are different. Amen. They're operating from another spirit. They're moving in another realm. God is bringing us into a greater place of awareness of who we are. We must understand that we do not get to a place and the ceiling just cuts us off, and that's as far as we go. No, there's more. There are more spheres. There are more understanding. There's more revelation. There are greater heights. There are greater awareness. God is busy taking us around, around, and around. And each round is getting higher and higher. We're understanding that there's more, that we cannot be limited to the knowledge that we have at this appointed moment, and by missing the fact that there is more. The only way we can receive more is to have an expectation of more. Amen. And so we have to move in that area very with great sensitivity. And the other thing that we have to do is that we have to be careful that we not hold on to the old pattern so tight that when the new is brought to us, we reject it. And we can understand that, because anything that's new has a tendency to be suspicious. Okay, and that's a caution button, and I think it's a good one. Okay, but it can't be suspicious to the place that it rejects truth or rejects a reality that God is trying to get us to see. This is why that when the new comes, we have to stop for a minute and pause. And give it a minute to work it around in our mind. Let Holy Spirit grab hold to it, because it may be a key that God has been holding for us. And at that appointed time, he hands us the key, but because we're still in that old place, in that old mindset, we reject it because it doesn't sound like what we've been hearing, or it doesn't sound like what we've been doing. We must understand that the new things are coming cannot be judged in an instant moment, because we have no variables to judge it with until the Holy Ghost gives them to us. He's the one that makes it real. He's the one that causes it to become a reality. Amen. And so when I say we can't fight this war the way we've been fighting it, that means that we all have to wait, give it a minute. Okay, what are we hearing now? God, what are you saying? Because he speaks through all of us. He speaks to and he speaks through all of us. Amen. You don't have to be a prophet to hear God. You have to be one of his. He's the Father. He speaks to all of us. Amen. So we have to be able to hear what he is saying, and then begin to gauge it by what we're hearing, and let the Holy Spirit seal it, stamp it, seal it, bring it to the place it needs to be, so that we can shift with the shift and move ahead in this time of season. The other piece that we understand in intercession is God is opening up our understanding of greater awareness, even of angelic assist. And it's interesting. we've all had encounters with angels at different places. We may not have known it was an angel that caused that car not to come and hit us as it was coming too close to get into the lane. And we may not understand that it was actually the angel that kept us from stepping off the curb. And all these things, the angels have always been moving and active in our lives. But what's coming now is that place of recognizing their presence, not only into the knowing that they're there, but actually having an encounters with them, having encounters of feeling their presence, having their encounters of seeing their presence and knowing that it's an angel. I said to someone the other day, we spend more conversation and more energy dealing with the darkness of the demonic than we do with the light of the angelic. We spend too much time in that dark place, and that too is a trick of the enemy, because he knows that we can't do anything with that darkness in and of ourselves. If we don't have the help of the angels, then we are a lost ball in high grass, like my grandma used to say. So we have to be able to understand that there is a reason why angels have been set aside for the heirs of salvation, why they are ministering servants or ministering spirits, which means that they have come to serve us in the whatever capacity that is needed. And that we have, and if we don't know that, then we would never call them forth. We would never be aware that they're present, whether we call them or not. We would be walking a path alone in a pretty much sense, because we did not understand the presence that's around us. And not only the presence that's around us, the presence that we have, the ability to avail their services, if you would, in those times and seasons that we need. We don't fight this war by ourselves. We fight in the company of the entire governance of God. So we have to be brought to that place of understanding, and that means that there's some lesson tools. And just as I was talking about those angels, of course, I'm reminded of Daniel in Daniel 10, when Daniel had prayed, and it took 21 days for the prayer to get to Daniel. The messenger came, you know, he said that, you know, he was on his way with the answer, but the king of Persia was standing in the way, and Michael had to come and war against him to release the agent with the answer to get it to Daniel. And so the thing that, and that goes back, when that go back, there are things going on in the realm of the spirit that we may not be aware of, but they pretty much have to deal with us, okay? And so we should at least know what are those entities, if you would, what are those realms, what are those situations that have a personal connection with us? Because when I say personal connection with us, they actually interfere the negative ones interfere with what we are processing to do, and then the positive, the angels, we leave them out of the equation. So we miss the opportunity to take advantage, if you would, of their dedication to do for us whatever is needed to do as heirs of salvation. Amen. So there's a balancing that we have to begin to speak to ourselves about. There's a balancing. There's an understanding. We have to pull back and get an understanding as we are dealing with the prayer mantle. There was an activity in one of the sectors, one of the precincts, where intercessors are praying, and clearly the enemy was not happy with that activity. And some things happened, and then I had to tell the intercessors, pull back. Just pull back until strategy can be recognized. And we kind of talked about that on our prayer call yesterday morning, that we have to be in that that place of being so sensitive to what God wants to say to us, what Father is trying to get to us, to make sure that we do not become a casualty in the war that we were created to win. You hear what I'm saying? So we have to understand those little components, those parts that are being activated around us, the parts that the enemy is doing to try to take us out, to make us ineffective, to create havoc around our very places of existence so that we can function. Or then on the other side, the angels that have been sent in that are always there, ever present, to assist us in that which God has called us to do. So once again, that's kind of where we are as we begin to approach this this season of intercession that we find ourselves stepping into. And it is, and it's pretty much, you know, we say, well, intercession is, you know, standing between, and truly it is. But the level that I'm speaking of is that intercession that is actually warfare, because you can't go up without being agitated by those things. When I say up, I'm not talking about first, second, and third heaven, because I don't teach that anymore. Another revelation has come in that, but into moving into other realms. Okay, we can't go into realms without encountering realms. So once again, we must know what it is that we are encountering. It says even the early church viewed intercession as warfare. So when we look at the military terminology that we can find in the New Testament, you know, speaks to that. When Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, and we're told to fight a good war, good warfare, all those are militaristic terminologies that once again speaks to those type of campaigns that we are to engage in as we move into intercession. So that's one component that we need to embrace and build ourselves up on, so that we can help others build up and get into those places. The other place is that we must walk in that place of purity and righteousness, in that if we're going to come out safe, we not have to be pulled out of the camp, but we have to be able to withstand in the season. And the only way we withstand, the enemy can't find anything in us that is relegated to darkness. That's why intercession, even as we're doing the mantle, as we are doing the prayer points. Our prayer points start with our own personal repentance, and then the repentance of the city itself. We cannot go into that type of, well, any place, if we're going in raw and empty and unrepentant and unholy or whatever. The enemy smells that stink, okay, and it draws him to it. So we have to make sure that we can stand as Zechariah did, as Joshua did, excuse me, in the third chapter of Zechariah, that he stood in preparation to receive a new robe and a turban on his head. We have to be in that same place. We have to stand in the presence of the king, washed in the blood of the lamb, dressed in white apparel, in a way of speaking, so that the contaminants of the world are not being brought into the arena of intercession, that we have to be cleansed from the inside out before we can step into that place. Or if not, we're just making noise. We aren't even interceding. We're just talking. Amen. Because we can't get through anymore. For one reason, the enemy is always accusing the brethren. So if we approaching, and the enemy can smell the stink of sin or whatever on us, then he can stand in the courts and cause an objection to our even being heard. And we need to understand that those realities are happening. So we move in that place of understanding that we have to walk righteous and upright before God. and that we have to take off that which would defile us and allow our intercession not to be heard or at the most be compromised. Amen. So we want to be able to live in that place that we can move. So as we begin to operate in intercession, we know first we have to understand what it is. We have to understand the position we must be in, and we have to understand that we have to be trained for that level that we've encountered, because once again, we have to get rid of the old artillery, the old weaponry, if you would, and begin to put on those things, pick up those things that are true to win. So where we are right now in transition, we're in a place, we're at almost a call to arms. We're at places to operate in the reality of the spirit, to operate in the positioning that we are as government agents of the King in the earth, so that we can function. The earth is not going to change if we do not change it. And when I say that, we change it as a manifest of sons. We change it as becoming the evidence, if you would, in the earth that God is moving, that we begin to represent the kingdom in the earth. That we're the presence of the kingdom of heaven. And then understanding, when I say the manifest of sons, certainly when we're born, we're all sons, but we have to mature. We are sons, but we're children when we first come into the kingdom, and we have to mature. And what is a manifested son? A manifested son is an agent of God that mirrors Jesus in the earth, that mirrors who he is, who he was in the earth. We are becoming in the earth, and we are moving in that presence to take kingdom, take territory for the kingdom of God. So it means that there, once again, has to be a conscious maturing that we have to voluntarily submit ourselves to, that we may get all of the components we need to mature to the places where we not only know that we're manifesting the presence in the earth, but know the presence that we're manifesting. Glory to God, what did you just say? Knowing what we carry, knowing that we carry signals, and we carry mishras and those things that can be seen in the spirit realm that indicate that we're part of the government of God, that there are mantles and all these things that God has given that identify us as the government that sits upon his shoulders. Come on, we have to know that we serve a higher government, and we are agents of that government in the earth. Well, once again, if I don't have a clue who I am, then I will go through life as a spiritual pauper, simply because I did not understand the riches that I had and the inheritance of who I had become at the cross. And that would not be good. Okay, that would not be good. We are all meant to deposit in the earth that which God deposited in us before we got into the earth. Hear me. We are all required to deposit into the earth that which God had deposited in us before we got into the earth. And we don't know what that was. We need to start having some consultation with him so that we can understand what his purpose, what was his purpose for getting us into the earth. And the one of the greatest markers of being successful in intercession is our own true identity of who we are. And who we are, who we are becoming. We can't win a war. We can't fight in a war if we're trying to fight with a confused spirit, a confused inner man, or confused in purpose, or not knowing why we're here, or not knowing what we're doing. We can't function in that. But all those answers, we actually carry them on the inside. We just need the Holy Spirit to ignite them so we get and understanding of who we are. What am I saying? That which we are called to do and that which we are called to become, we already carry it in our place of salvation because of the operation of the Holy Spirit that works on the inside of us, and the desire of the Father that we become one in him as Christ was one in him. Amen. That we move in that place of that level of revelation and understanding, that we just can't just get on our own. We have to be engaged with those things of the kingdom that will bring us into that those places of revelation. So that's what I'm seeing. That's definitely where we are. That's where God is bringing us. And listen, the distractions that are going to continue to press in to keep us from functioning entirely in the purpose and plan of God are going to continue, but they don't continue in win formation. Amen. They continue to be defeated. There is this. Let me tell you, just as I'm saying this, the issues with health and wealth, which are available to us, they are part of our inheritance. They weren't just an add-on; they were the original part of our inheritance. We are healed by the stripes. We have all these things that are ours because of inheritance. But yet it appears to be this block, season of the inability for the healing to come, the wealth to come, the resources to come. But yet Jesus said we would do greater things. So the things that are keeping the greater things from manifesting? What is it that's keeping the season of healing, which we're in? God said that He was coming as Jehovah Rapha, but what is that? It's a pushback. I feel it's a pushback in the realm of the spirit, and it's not anything that God is doing per se. But then too, Father will allow some things to get us in alignment, but I'm not trying to go there. But there is something in the crust of this thing that is keeping it from moving with the velocity, if you would, the accelerated pace, if you would, to bring those things in alignment. That's another, that could well be another source of intercession. Going into, moving into spiritual paradigm of the kingdom to seek after those things. Sometimes God allows things to happen, not to punish us and not even to bring us discomfort, but to bring us into a greater awareness of the greater portion that he's desiring to pour out. I don't even know why I went there. It just hit my spirit. But we're in this season. I guess that's what I'm saying. We're in this season, whether we're experiencing it or not. We're in this season. But okay, we can't allow the lack of either to distract us from the purpose of God in the midst of it. Amen. So, and I'm going to just have to release that to you and let you personally turn that over in your spirit and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you in that. What is it? Where is he? What place of victory? Okay, hear me. What place of victory is God desiring us to enter in this hour? Amen. And that seems to be a strange question, especially with some of the things we're going through. But there's a victory locked in this somewhere. Okay. And it's victory. Listen. It's victory without failure. Glory to God. Somebody catch that. It's victory without failure. Okay. There can't be no failure in victory, because failure in victory is called defeat. Oh, glory to God. failure in victory is called defeat. God is not a God of defeat. He's a God of victory. Amen. So that equation is solved. So it's not his purpose to defeat. It's his purpose to bring victory. And I'm talking to myself on this one. Amen. And once again, and I celebrate what he just deposited, because God also doesn't bring us to a place of revelation without a door that we can walk through to for the answer, okay, or to apply it. He never does that. That would be a tease. He doesn't do that. He brings us revelation in just prior to application. Okay, we tend to get comfortable and stay in revelation and not move forward in application, and we have to move forward. And that other piece is we have to move. Amen. We ask Father to do something, and we sit down and wait for him to do it. He never said that. He said that he would equip us, and that everything that we have is what we would need to move through the earth and accomplish what needs to be accomplished, that he's not babysitting. Amen, that we are maturing, remember? So we follow the same path that Jesus followed when he was moving toward maturity. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's one of the issues of the day. How much do we know about the process of Jesus in maturing as it is brought out in the Gospels? And that's another teaching. That's just another thought. But when you're going through, you need some things to kind of grab hold to. Some food for thought, if you would. Some food for thought that will actually become activation of bringing some things to pass. That will turn some tides. That will shift some situations, that the aha moments will manifest and put us on another course, a course to manifested healing, and a course to the coming forth of the resources. It's something in that, and maybe it is in that prayer encounter, prayer engagement, that we find those answers. So that's out there for each of us to take a look at in our own personal encounter, in our own season of intimacy with God, to get those answers that we need in this time of trouble. Glory to God. So anyway, so back to kind of segue there for a minute. It went off in a good direction, because that's where the Lord led me, so that's where he wanted us to go. And for the benefit that it's going to give to all of us as we continue to move forward in his purpose. Amen. So we in this hour, as we are, once again, the mantle is moving across Detroit, and it's moving not only for Detroit, it's moving for this nation, as other things are moving. And so we have to be in the place that we stand our watch in such a way that we not only accomplish what he's given us to do, but he is glorified in the midst, that we literally see his presence being manifested in the midst of what we're doing, that we can shout out, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, the everlasting doors, for the King of Glory has come in. We move, live, and have our being in those places, and we function in those places that God is calling us to do that. Be cautious of the pushback that comes with the assignment to intercede. It's always there. It's always there. And even with the mantle, I'm alerted, and I know that there's some pushback. There's some places that I'm praying to the extent that they need to pray. The enemy's business, okay? The enemy's business. The enemy can create business that looks like it came from the Lord. Amen. And he's a deceiver, okay? He can get us tied up and busy in things that God had nothing to do with. And the purpose of the enemy is to keep us from doing what God did have something to do with. Okay? And if we aren't careful, that's why the spirit of discernment is so critical in this hour. The spirit of discernment is always critical, but it's even more so when you're on the front line being used by God to bring his purpose in the earth, you have so got to have the discernment of spirit, because you cannot recognize a spirit on approach by the way it looks and by the way it sounds. You have to know it by the spirit. Amen. So you have to be in that place of asking Holy Spirit to increase your discernment of spirit, so you can discern between the good and the evil, so that you can sidestep some things that the enemy, some rolling balls, some bowling balls that the enemy is trying to roll across your path to get you not only to stumble, that just would break you asunder so you can't function, excuse me, in the fullness of what God has called you to do. So we have to be sensitive. That's sensitive in this season. So when we have an assignment such as the mantle that truly didn't come from me, then that means that it has to move higher up, even on our list of priorities, as things that need to be done, and even more so, they have to be jotted down. Because, once again, busyness will carry a thought from today until tomorrow, and we will not have captured what the Lord has required us to do in this hour. So it's a lot of things that push back is serious, and we have to, all of it is serious, but we have to understand that he literally has his hand on our chest, pushing us back, pushing us back so that we cannot get moved forward. And so you have to expect the pushback. But the only way, and you expect the pushback, but you allow the Holy Spirit to identify where the pushback is coming from. Okay? Because if not, we'll be reacting to the wrong person, the wrong situation, or whatever. We have to let that be defined by Holy Spirit so that he can give us that again. So once again, just in recap, going back in a session, standing between, Bishop Jackson would say, taking the bullet for someone else, like a secret service agent, okay, you talk as one, will stand there and take what was meant for the president, will take the wound, will take the hit, we'll take the bullet. And so that takes me back to when I say all of the body is called to intercede, but all are not used, I should say, in that level of intercession, because once again, that level of intercession is predicated on the level of maturity that the individual has reached. And when you talk of maturity, it takes on all components: compassion, passion, love, likeness of Christ, being understood as being mind renewed, flowing in the purpose and plan of Christ, all those things that make the maturing of becoming as him, becoming complete in him, as Colossians 2:10 referenced that. So we move in that place so that we become the image of him, glory to God. And when we become the image of him, then everything that's of him becomes part of us. Okay, so compassion is automatic. The desire to move in that position of intercession is automatic, because after all, he is our chief intercessor. Even so, we move in that. We come in alignment with that purpose and that plan. So we seek God and we ask him to give us the direction and the directives that we need in order that we can flow in the manner in which we're to flow, by the design or pattern that he has already originated, if you would, that we can step into, or not so much step into it, but understand that we're in it and allow the Holy Spirit to master us in it so that we can flow and function according to the purpose and plan of God in this time and in this season. And that will be the victory in which we engage. God is changing cities. He's changing regions. He's changing nations. He's changing this globe. And all of this requires intercession at some level or the other. It all requires an engagement between heaven and earth. It all requires his agents in the earth to be so in tune with what's going on in the kingdom that they can bring it from the kingdom back into the earth, that which will give life to the earth. Once again, the earth, the world is confused because they have no direction. They will not get any direction until the church gets redirected so that we're functioning in the fullness of who God has called us to be. And when I say church, I'm not talking about buildings. I'm talking about us. We are the church. Okay, we are the temples of the Holy Ghost. We are the ones that he is looking to use in this season to come together and to unite together and to become one, certainly, but to move forward and ahead so that we can purpose, bring his purpose, I should say, to bear in the land. And that is what intercession is going to must look like in this season. Amen. Amen. So that's pretty much the lesson part, but I am working on a intercessory teaching, which will hopefully be ready to go up in the next couple of weeks for the body, so that we can tap into not only what he is doing in this moment, but the expectancy of what's ahead. When I speak of other realms, there are literally other places that we are not necessarily aware of, but we are part of because we live in that place. We live in the supernatural. We live there. So, amen, we want to keep pushing and pressing into that place. Amen. Amen. So I want to take these last few minutes of reminding you nationwide, Detroit is in a prayer. We're in a movement. We're in a movement that began on the 12th of December. We're doing a 40-day, prayer mantle. I'm so sorry, prayer mantle. That 40 days actually ends next Sunday, but that mantle, the prayer does not stop. The mantle is more or less the foundational stone. And this process continues, and it will continue out until September, until around Tabernacles. So we, those of you that may be interested in joining this portion for the next week, just to pray for the city of Detroit, from wherever you are in the nation, you can feel free to do that. Those of you that want to be more specifically involved in praying in specific sections of the city, borders, the international gates between Detroit and Canada, and all those, if that is, or if you have prayer teams that you want the prayer points, I would ask that you would register by going to intercessorywatchdetroit@gmail.com. That's intercessorywatchdetroit@gmail.com. Once again, intercessorywatchdetroit@gmail.com. Leave us your contact information so we can get back to you and give you some definition as to where you can pray into the city or around the borders or those other places where we have defined. And once again, those of you that are on this call on the line, we have a prayer call every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's open to everyone at that point, all intercessors and watchmen. And that number is area code 213-486-2954. That's area code 218-486-2954. And the access code is 126-482. 126-482 pounds. 126-482 pound. Join us on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. And we're praying and just we'll continue to be praying on that line after the 21st. So feel free. Once again, those of you, there are teams that are praying. I know there are teams out of Houston and other places that are praying into North Carolina, praying New Orleans, Louisiana, I should say, are praying into the city. So you have teams that are praying in the city. Let us know. It's prophetic word is as Detroit goes, so goes the nation. so we understand that we are moving as one in this season. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Detroit is a city not forsaken. It is a place where God is going to manifest his glory like never before. That which the enemy meant for evil is going to be turned into good. That which the enemy thought he was destroying, he has really helped build up. Glory to God. That this will be a place where the harvest will be gathered. This will be the place where seeds will be deposited. This will be the place where unity will be birthed. This will be the place where God will be honored and glorified. This will be the place where Isaiah, where Psalm 24 becomes reality. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of Glory has come in to the city of Detroit. So continue to pray. I'm going to end the call now. Given us left, but let me pray for you that are on the phone and for you that are on the internet. Father, I just thank you for each hearer this morning. I pray, Father God, for an encounter with you that will bring greater understanding, greater wisdom, and greater revelation to where they stand right in this exact moment in time, that you will engage, empower, and embrace each of them in such a way that they will, without a shadow of doubt, know that you're speaking into them, and you're speaking into their situation. You're speaking into the purpose, and you're speaking into destiny. And for that, we're thankful. We pray, Father God, for those things that have been used to influence distractions around them to be settled in the name of Yeshua, that they no longer have the power, and they have no might, and they've never had authority. So those things that have been used to draw them away by the enemy, we pray for their exposure, glory to God, to expose that which has been used to manipulate these individuals so they could not see what you were doing. We pray that that happens. I ask, Father, that you would release angelic assist in this hour along with each one that's the heir of salvation, that they will be consciously aware of a presence that's bringing them into a place of balance, a place of a peace and rest, a place where the intensity of the moment eases, a place where you're shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, overtakes, arrests them in this hour, that there will be a peace and comfort in knowing that you are not a faraway God, but your presence permeates the earth and certainly around those who are called by your name. So we thank you for victory over today. We thank you for victory in the day. We thank you that every need will be met in this hour, and that even now bodies are being realigned with your purpose and your plan, that infirmities are being dislodged out of bodies even now, that healings, entire healings are being manifested in this hour. We speak against the death angel, and we draw it back in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we plead the blood of Jesus over those who are critically ill in this hour, and we pray for an angelic covering over them as they struggle to be renewed by your power of life and bring them back in alignment with their purpose in the earth. But Father, we thank you and we bless you. We bless you for the resources that are coming. We thank you that the banks in the nation may be closed, but yours is forever open. Glory to God. And we thank you for the treasury that is being released in this hour for your agents that you have sent to do your work. So, Father, we thank you, we honor you, we magnify you, we bless you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. I pray that this has been a blessing to you and that you have received what you need to receive out of this teaching. Keep me in prayer, as I will you. And let's see which way the Lord is going to take us. We are connected. We are connected. We are connected. Whoever's out there, you're not out there by yourself. We are connected. So let our connectivity work to not only for our advantage, but for God's glory. Amen. Until next week, this is Apostle Diane Chappelle. You've been listening to Online Church, Morning Manna, Online Church. I give God praise to each and every one of you. Have a great week. Amen. Amen.